After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, till the very end of the age."
Thank you, Roger. Well, happy Easter to you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Come on now. Well, welcome to Life Community Church. We're so glad we can see some new faces here today. My name's Jeff. I'm the pastor here. I just want to say welcome. We're so glad you could join us today. You know, Easter Sunday is a little bit of a pressure for a pastor because, you know, we want to make sure that everyone feels welcome and we have a good message. And so I'm super excited that you could join us today. This is my 29th Easter as a follower of Jesus Christ. And as I've looked back and heard a lot of messages about Easter, there's a lot to talk about. Easter is kind of the big deal of our faith. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that without the resurrection, what's the point? But with the resurrection, it changes everything. So 29 years ago, I was not a follower of Jesus Christ. I was not born in a Christian home, and I was living quite a wild life. And at 24, I made a lot of bad decisions, and I ended up having some serious health problems. And because of my health problems, I was bedridden for a while. And some people came out and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ for me for about a week. They told me all about Jesus Christ, who he is, the kingdom of God, and how Jesus died on the cross for me. And you know what? It's the resurrection that changed my heart. One of the things they said about the resurrection is that something happened that day, and all of his followers who saw him said they saw the risen Christ. And what really turned my heart was the fact that every one of them went to their deaths proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord and he is risen. That really changed my heart. So February of 1990, I remember sitting there in my bed saying, "I'm 24, I've just turned 25, my life is not where I want it to be, and I really want to give this Jesus stuff a chance." And as I thought about the resurrection and how many people believed about it, so I went to the back of my apartment in Redondo Beach, California, looking out over the ocean, full moon, and I prayed something like this. I said, "Lord Jesus, I believe you're real. Help me to know that you're real. Would you please come into my life? Would you forgive me my sins?" And I had this moment. You know, there wasn't a bunch of angels didn't show up, but something did happen in my heart. Next morning, I got up and everything changed. And since that time, I thought about this. That decision I made all those years ago has brought me here today as a pastor of this church with you here in Mahomet. And it's just amazing to think what that did. What I've learned through this situation is that I was given eternal life back then, started then, and I now have a two-way relationship with the Lord of glory, with Jesus Christ, and he has changed my life dramatically. And the good news of why we're all excited about Easter is that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it brought all the promises to bear and brought forgiveness and new life. And so Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus went around saying, "The kingdom of God is here. You have access now through my death and my resurrection. And so the good news for every one of us is we all have access to the kingdom of God and this good news. A paraphrase we've been using lately at the church is that all the preliminaries have been taken care of. God has set everything up. He's been working behind the scenes. And the kingdom of God is now accessible to everyone who gives their life to Jesus Christ. So then he says this, review your plans. That's what repent means. Review your plans for living and base your life on this remarkable opportunity. So here's the deal. It is Sunday, April 21st on Easter. I'm really excited about this. But as I was praying and preparing for the service, I thought, I'm just going to come out and say it, that I made this decision all these years ago, and the Lord has been working on some of your lives right now. And we are a church of Jesus Christ, the living God. And I believe right now there are several in this room at this moment who God has been working in your life. And I think even I'm talking right now, you're starting to say, oh, I think he's talking about me. If you're thinking that, guess what? I think I'm talking about you. And as we talk about that, as I was praying, I really sensed as I was preparing my sermon, this morning I felt the Lord wanted me to change my intro. And I said, Lord, this is Easter. This is kind of like the Super Bowl of church time. We have a lot of guests. I want to do a good job. And the Lord kept just, you know, not an audible voice, but I just kept wrestling. So I thought, okay, do I come this blunt and do this? And I came to church not wanting to do, and then all of a sudden someone on our prayer ministry team comes up and says, guess what? I think this morning the Lord wants us to share right up front about salvation. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. So I want to say something right now to everybody here in this room. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, today, right now, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And one of the things we got is today is your day to join the family. So I just want to go ahead and give an opportunity right now, stepping out, that I believe one or two people right now in this room would love to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And I also really believe that one or two of you possibly knew this was going to happen. And one of the things you said was, is if this happens, I'm going to respond. Now, again, I'm an older man, and I, you know, it's not for me. If no one stands up, that's okay. I'll say, hey, I gave it a good shot, right? But I believe Jesus wants us to do this. And so I'm going to take a moment and pray. And if that's you, and you would like to come in, right, you know, right now, at this moment, the good news is that at this very moment, you can enter into eternal life. At this moment, you can enter into the kingdom of God. And at this moment, you can start a new life. And had I not made that decision so many years ago, I wouldn't be here today with my lovely family in front of you. But I believe we're all interconnected in how God works in our lives. So let me pray, and then let's see what God does. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you rose from the dead and the tomb was empty, the disciples knew that at that day forward, everything's different. And even now as I share this, I know that everything's different. And Lord, I pray right now that if one or two people here in this room who have been wanting to know Jesus, been wanting to take that step, that today would be the day, that as they hear his voice right now, they would respond. So I just want to take a moment and say, is if anybody here would like to respond, and the reason why I felt the Lord wanted us to do it publicly, is today will be a different day for you. By doing this today in public, it puts it out there. So I just want to take a moment, if that is you and you'd like to stand up, we would love to pray for you. We're not here to embarrass anybody. We're not here to do it for any other reason. But I did want to give this opportunity today. So if that is you and your heart's pounding, we would love to pray for you right now. So I'll just give it a moment. And again, if no one wants to respond, that is okay. Again, I want to encourage you that by doing this, God will radically change your life. Would anyone like to stand? Well, what we'll do is, again, sometimes people might get a little embarrassed. If you would like to respond later, we would love to pray for you. So now with that being said, moving on, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about today is I thought, this is Easter. I thought, what could I teach on today? There's all kinds of things to talk about, the resurrection, what happened. But you know the thing that I'm really, really, really concerned about today is tomorrow. I thought, what's going to happen tomorrow to this group? What happens, we're here today, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But as a pastor, I thought, what about tomorrow? Actually, I'm even concerned about what happens right after this service. The biggest thing I'm concerned about is what kind of chocolate Easter bunny are you going to get, or what are you going to be eating, right? I have a question for the group. When you get a chocolate Easter bunny, do you generally start with the ears or the backside? Ears? Everyone to ears? Have you guys seen this funny meme here? My butt hurts. What? Wait a minute. Let it work. There it is. All seriousness aside, I'm talking to two groups today. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're a person who's just kind of checking out God, I want to say that the most important thing really about us is what happens after this Easter service, because what's going to happen is we're going back to our busy lives. We're going back to a time of realizing that God loves us and he's for us. Something radical happened at the empty tomb, and the disciples were so enthralled. But the problem is now that happened over 2,000 years ago, and though Jesus is alive today and he works in our life, the thing is we forget a lot. So I want to ask a question that you may not be thinking I'd teach on Easter, but I think it's going to be really encouraging for a lot of you, is this. How is God with us after Easter? We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's done all these amazing things. But the question is now, how do we continue on following him, feeling his presence, knowing he is with us? So how is God with us after Easter? Let me pray one more time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that you're a God who is so good and kind, and I pray that as I share this message, we would be encouraged as we celebrate the risen Lord. Lord Jesus, when you rose from the dead, everything changed. And I pray for everyone here today, they would be encouraged to know that you are the Lord and there is no other. Help us, Lord, to take Easter, the resurrection, on for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's two ways God is with us. Some of you are like, duh, Jeff, this is kind of a simple message. There's the metaphysical way. Well, yeah, God's big, God's over the universe, God is with us, but I'm not going to be talking about metaphysical stuff today. I'm talking that God wants a personal, present relationship with you right now. God is for you. He loves you right this moment. He wants a personal, present relationship. The resurrection of Jesus Christ now opened up a new door. We can now live in the manifest presence of God. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the kingdom of God broke in. A lot of us believe that heaven is something that happens at the end of our lives. But you know what? Heaven is here right now. God dwells in heaven. Heaven is nearer than we think. And that God breaks into heaven through his Lord Jesus Christ. And as heaven's breaking into the kingdom of God, we can now live in eternity right now. And we can live in his presence. So one of the questions I wanted us to talk today is, how do we stay in the manifest presence of God? How do we stay and enjoy this resurrected life we have in Jesus? Let me give you a couple of pointers. One is in Numbers 6, 22 to 27. It says this. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, and this is called the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Some scriptures say, and the Lord put his countenance on you. Here's the good news. God's a good father. He's given you his full attention. Have you been around a father or around a person? I had a pastor counselor friend of me and Christine's. He'd be talking to us and we're pouring out our hearts and he'd be looking at his computer and I thought, you're not giving me your full attention, are you? But what God is saying is I give you my full attention. The Father looks at every one of us here in this room and he puts his countenance on you and he blesses you. And the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ is God gives his full attention. But here's the problem. A lot of us are so busy all the time, we forget that God wants to give us his full attention. One of his names in Hebrew and in the New Testament is Emmanuel, and it means God with us. And so one of the names of God is God is with us, and that's the good news of Easter. So God wants to have an active, present, eternal relationship with us right now. And so a lot of you woke up this morning and said, well, hey, we're going to do Easter, and then we're going to go have a great day. But do you know what? Every moment of the day, God wants to have an active, present, eternal relationship with you right now. Your eternal life starts right now. You are walking in the kingdom of God if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to share a couple of encouraging things for everyone today of how we can continue this resurrected life onward. So if you go to the book of Romans, Romans 8 has this great overview of what's going on. Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we first come to Christ, we are no longer condemned. The empty tomb says we are no longer condemned. We are forgiven of our sins, and we now know have no more condemnation. Then Romans 8 continues on and says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Another great news is that God is for us, and he works even through tragedy. He loves us, he protects us, he watches over us. And then toward the end of this chapter, he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. And then he says this, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, nor anything else in all creation. There is nothing that will separate you. Some of you today are coming today afraid of some things. And God says you don't need to be afraid because nothing will separate you from the love that's in Christ Jesus, nor anything else in all creation. So what we learned today in our relationship with God is that we are perfectly safe no matter what happens. Think about that. The gospel of Jesus Christ says we are safe because of what God's done in our lives, and we have this. And so the picture is we are in his hands. We're in the palm of his hands. He is now watching over us. We are secure and safe in him. And then it says in John 10, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So another thing we need to be reminded on a constant basis is that we are in Christ, and Christ is in you. I have this relationship, and now as Christ dwells in me, I am able to walk out my faith in this. So then it says this, even though I walk through the darkest valley from Psalm 23, many of you know this, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. God wants to be in a constant, present relationship with every one of you on a regular basis. In the funny, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament of Jesus is there's this huge storm on the Sea of Galilee, and all the sailors and all the apostles thought they were going to die, and Jesus is asleep. This is the one time you don't want to say to someone, hey, just give me 5 more minutes. You know, like I thought you try to wake up your wife or something, your husband, just give me 5 more minutes. This one time you say, Jesus, just give me 5 more minutes. Say, don't say that, Jesus. Can you wake up now? So they're trying to wake him up. And Jesus is fully fast asleep on the boat. Why? Because he knows he's at peace and he knows that the Father's for him. The one who says, I am with you always, is with you always. And so in Scripture it says in Hebrews 13, keep your lives free from love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God will never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And so what we learn about a relationship with God is he is a good and a kind God. So this morning, I want to give 3 words for what it means for God to be with us, for being the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope this is encouraging to every one of you, but I feel for some of us, for us to continue on with this resurrected life, there are 3 words that'll help us. They all start with P. There's perception, provision, and power. These 3 P's I think will really help you to be able to know what you are in your relationship with God. The first one is perception. That sounds kind of weird, but God is with us through our awareness of him. A lot of you, in your busyness, your hurt, and your pain, are not aware that God wants to be in a constant, eternal present with you. We see this in Hebrews 11:27. Talks about Moses. By faith, Moses had left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Why? He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. The reason why Moses was able to persevere is he saw him who is invisible. How is it to see somebody who's invisible? A lot of you don't realize right now that God is pursuing you. He loves you very much. He's in your life, but you don't see it because he's invisible. And we're going to talk about how do you see something that's invisible. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, it says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So how can we see the invisible? And as I was praying about this, is that one of the things we need to start working on is what's going on in your mind and your heart? What are you thinking about? And the thing of seeing the invisible is starting to be aware of the fact that God is in your life. So the main way we know that God is with us is our awareness of his presence. Are you aware that God is present in your life and he wants to continue to grow in your life? But to do that, you need to be aware of that. It says in Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. God won't always be available to us, some of us, when we die. So that's why today is the day of salvation. We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. I think some of you are struggling right now with God in your life because you're not seeking after him. Why does God want to be sought? Seek, that's not even a word, is it? Why does God want to be sought? Thank you. My grammar's real good. Boxing, I know. That's why Christine does the homeschooling and I don't, because our children will be talking very bad English, very bad grammar. But anyway, I've always asked, like, why are we to seek the Lord? And have you ever wanted, don't you want to be around people who are looking also for you? Now, God loves us very much, and he's always seeking after us. But the Lord also wants it. He wants us to seek after him because he wants those who want to be around him. And so we're to seek the Lord by he may be found. So you have to seek him. And it says that throughout Scripture. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So I want to say something profound that you think about the resurrection is this. You need to turn your mind toward God and focus on him on a regular basis. The scriptures talk about this over and over. You need to begin to start saying, Lord, I want to continue to put you into my mind. I want to continue to focus on you. And by doing this, you will realize that God's presence is always around you. My parents, is anyone here bird watchers? Anyone here bird watchers? A couple of you? Okay, not a lot. Well, my parents became bird watchers when I was in college, and I'll be totally honest with you. When I first found out, they had their little binoculars and their little hat and their little bird book, and I'm like, really, Mom and Dad? All the things you could do in life is look for birds, really? No, if you're a bird watcher, please, I'm not making fun of you, because now I watch birds sometimes. But what I amaze about bird watching is that, no offense, but I thought, oh, there's a few birds here and there. But my mom and dad, as they go on these little bird watching tours and weekends away, spending all my inheritance on bird watching events. But I'm not bitter, so I need some help right now. But what was funny is they'd go out there. I realized there is a whole world of birds out there. Birds up way up in the trees, birds in the things, there's all kinds. And so after a while, going on a few of these bird journeys with them, I realized there's birds everywhere. Have you ever noticed when you're interested in a new car or new clothes or something, and before you know it, everywhere you go, you see that car or you see that, you become aware of it. What I think a lot of us don't need to realize is that God is all around you. He wants to be in your life, his presence, but a lot of you don't know it because you're not being aware of it. And why this message, I think, is encouraging you today is we need to make some effort. So if you want to be aware of stuff like the stars and the moon, you get a microscope, you have to put some effort into it. But let's be honest, we have some spiritual couch potatoes in this church. And the thing is, we sit around in our lives, we're busy doing our thing, and we're like, why don't I ever have more of God in your life? And I hate to say it, real super profound thing. You need to start seeking the Lord, spending time pushing into him, and that's what you really need to do. And a lot of us sit back and we say, well, I want to see God. Well, to see God is to seek him. Now, he does break into our lives a lot of times. That happened to me back in 1990, but you know, you don't always want him to break in like that because usually it's not the most pleasant experience, is it? But it gets our attention. So for a lot of you, if you're at home all the time, really busy in your life, I have a question for you. Are you seeking God? It's Easter. It's the resurrection, the tomb's empty, but are you going to seek him tomorrow? Are you going to seek him on Tuesday? I have something really profound for you. The question is, are you seeking God? Here's the way to answer that question. Are you ready for this? What is on your mind? What are you putting in your mind right now? On a regular basis, what's going on in your mind? And I know it's funny, when I was preparing this message, I thought a lot of people saying, really, Jeff, this is your resurrection sermon, really? What's on your mind? But it's actually quite profound. What is going on if you are constantly putting God in your mind, constantly getting God back to your thoughts? If you do this on a constant basis, you're going to realize that the God of the universe wants to be present in your life. Now, I'm not a big sports guy, but this analogy works. We just got done with March Madness in March, and not in April, or not in May, but March Madness. And anyway, why March Madness, I was reading a book, a guy was talking about March Madness, is that people during March Madness are so excited about it. Why? Because they're putting their mind in all the teams, and they're doing it. And if their team wins, they're excited. If their team loses, they're distraught. And they're anxious, and they're excited. Why? Because they're really putting all their focus on that. And then a pastor wrote this interesting thing about March Madness. Every bit of that passion was given to us by God for God. It was not given for basketball. Where is the elation over the resurrection? Where is the desolation over our sins? It's on basketball, it's on football, it's on romance. We're not bashing basketball or football or romance. What we're saying is whatever you put your mind to, whatever you put your passions to, whatever you put your thought to on a regular basis, that is where your life is going to go. So one way to know if God's in your life and his presence is you need to start changing your mind. Repentance means to change your mind. And what I want to do, and I hope for a lot of you, is to say, okay, God, every day I want to be aware that you are for me. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. Jesus is Lord. And I want to constantly put your thoughts, who you are, in front of me. Changing the way you think changes your perspective, which changes how you act. Many of you who want to get closer to God, see God moving in your life, in your families, your finances, your work, to do that, you need to put God at the forefront of your mind. So a question again I ask is, what are you putting on your mind? If you're putting other things in your mind, you're not going to be aware of what God's doing in your life. Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent. What's he saying here? Change your mind, because the kingdom is here now. It's time for you to put your focus on God and his presence. Then it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to be fighting all the time. What's going on in our minds? What are we thinking about? So again, the question is, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? What are you placing in your mind? There's an interesting book out called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Several hundred years ago, this guy basically decided that he wanted to experience the presence of God daily in his life. But one thing I never saw before is it took him 10 years. I never saw this before. It took him 10 years to get there. So a lot of you guys said, well, there you go. I'm not going to wait 10 years. You don't have to wait 10 years to have the fruit of it, but it took Brother Lawrence 10 years of constantly bringing the presence of God to forward. But once he got to those 10 years, then the book changes, and he talks about everywhere I go is the awareness of God, and he talks about the beauty and the presence of the living God. So here's another analogy of looking at it. A lot of us here can't, you know, play piano, but a lot of us say, well, I never can play a symphony from Beethoven or play a special song. Well, of course you can't, silly, if you haven't been practicing. But if you started today being aware of basics, you could probably get at least a Batman, you know, da-da-da-da-da, or chopsticks, right? The point of the matter is if today you start saying, I'm going to make an effort to start putting more focus on God, putting him in my thoughts, you will be able then down the road to be able to start walking more and more into the thing of God. One of the things that Brother Lawrence said that after 10 years, he said something very profound. He says, I no longer believe, I see. And so if we consistently put God in our forethoughts and perceive him, I know this sounds like kind of more of a philosophical sermon, but it's not, is that if we put God in our mind all the time, then through our brain and our mind, the gift that God's given us, we become aware of the living God. But a lot of you don't do that. We don't do that. And what happens? We become more and more discouraged. So the first thing to encourage you is to turn your mind toward God and focus on him. Keep your focus always on him. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. We do this through scripture and through prayer and through worship, hanging out with other believers. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, are you renewing your mind? Are you putting it in your mind? As you do that, he begins to show you how that works. I love what David says in Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He's always putting his eyes on the Lord. And then Jesus says this in Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I'm all in. I'm all focused. I'm going for it. So if you're struggling right now today in relationships, finances, all kinds of issues, I guarantee you, if I was to sit down and talk with you, I would guess that one of your major issues is where's your mind at? If your mind's on the mind of Christ and you're constantly opening and growing and putting your mind on him, I think a lot of things would start to change in your life. The second P is provision. God is with us through providing for us. It sounds kind of weird, but the first way to know that God is for us and with us and in our lives is to become aware, be always praying and watching and reading the scriptures. Second way is through provision. As we become aware of God, then we start to pray and ask him. And I would encourage a lot of Christians, we're to work hard, and God provides through us, generally through hard work, our families. That is the main way that God provides for us. But once in a while, if you want to see the manifest presence of God in your life, is allow him to provide for you in ways that you may not, no one else could provide for you. It says in Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. And so I encourage you as a Christian, if you'd like to grow in your relationship with him, set up some times where God can do things that only God can do. Let me give you an example. I was in seminary, and all my money was going to seminary books, and I was living in Pasadena in this little teeny apartment. And one day, I took a class on missions, and this man named Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, he didn't want to tell anybody else about his needs. And so he had a boss who forgot to pay him. And he worked for a couple of months, and his boss wouldn't pay him. And as opposed to going to his boss and say, hey, he didn't pay me, I'll show you the scripture. Move ahead of the scripture here. It says this, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Hudson Taylor started to pray, and he'd wait upon the Lord, and he'd go by his employer, and he'd never pay him. And so finally, the employer turned around and said, hey, I forgot to pay you, and started to pay him. And I saw this interaction where he'd pray secretly, and God would reward him openly. So I saw this one day and said, you know what? I want my faith to become alive. I want to see more of the presence of God in my life. So at the time, I was a poor, very poor seminary student. I was going to his church, and I was one of the youth directors in there. And I said, Lord, you know what I need right now? I need some new tennis shoes. I need them really badly, but I don't want money. I want tennis shoes, and I need tennis shoes. Would you show me, be your father? So I prayed for a couple weeks secretly to God in private. A week or two later, I actually forgot about the prayer. I was up in a camp, a middle school camp, and Saturday night, playing cards, goofing around with the kids, and one of my friends, who's now a pastor, came in and said, hey, weirdest thing in the world. He works for Vans Tennis Shoes. He says, I brought up one pair of shoes. He didn't bring up a trunk load. I brought up one pair, and he goes, I don't know why, but they're kind of an off, weird brand. And he says, hey, does anyone need some shoes? And I'm sitting there, and I almost felt the Holy Spirit like, hey, dummy. You know, it's like, didn't you pray for that? Yeah. Oh, that's me. And you want to hear something amazing? Those tennis shoes were size 12. They were my shoe size. And I have really weird feet. I've got really large feet. Now, most people, what are the chances of somebody grabbing one pair of shoes that fit my exact feet? The point of the matter was, is that I asked God in secret for something, and he provided for me. One of the ways of seeing God in move in our life is asking him for things and see him provide. Now, he doesn't always do it, or it doesn't always the way we'd like it to do, but for some of you, are you willing to allow God to guide you and show you? Another way of doing this is if on a constant basis, you are going up to a drive-thru and you order something into the speaker and then you go up and you get something, you start learning that, hey, this works. Well, with prayer is the same way. If we constantly go before the Lord, ask him, God, you'll see God do things. If you want to see an interesting story, we don't have time today. If you go someday, go back to Genesis 26, a story you don't see very often. You always get Abraham and Jacob. But Isaac, interesting story. There's a huge famine. And what naturally happens when there's a famine in that area, you would go to Egypt where all the food was at. And if you go to Genesis 26, it says there's a huge famine. So as Isaac gets ready to head to Egypt, God says, I don't want you to go to Egypt. I want you to stay here. He stays, and there's all kinds of trouble he's in. But then all of a sudden, something happens in the middle of this famine. The only person whose crops are growing is Isaac. And the people around him start getting kind of scared. And they're like, wait a second, there's a famine going. And the point is, God shows his love and presence to Isaac through provision. And so God also wants to show us through his provision, but also through difficulties. Look at James 1, 2 to 4. It says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In your troubles, you will become aware of the presence of God. And so what happens sometimes is that God wants to put us in a situation where we need his provision. This church is going to be celebrating its sixth year on Sunday, June 9th. And we're really excited for this. But this church started through provision and through trouble. What happened was is that a little over 6 years ago, Christine and I had stepped away from a ministry we were involved in. And at that moment, I was still doing a Bible study about 150, 175 people. And as we were doing it, we thought, well, Lord, before we do something different, people contacted and said, we'd like to continue this Bible study going. So strangest prayer meeting I ever had in our house, we got together and we said, Lord, for the summer, we want to finish this Bible study, but our house, of course, can't hold 150 or so people. So what are we going to do? So a group, about 8 or 9 of us got together and we prayed. And this is what we prayed. We said, Lord, there are 3 things we'd like. One is, could we have a place to stay in the Muhammad area for free for 3 months? We can't afford it, so is there a spot we can get? Number 2, could we have enough chairs for around 150 or so people? And this is the weirdest prayer I'll ever hear in my life. We're all sitting there talking. I thought, oh, those are good prayers. Someone then prays, Lord, would you also provide some very large round tables? I'm like, large round tables? That could have been any other size large round tables. So I thought, wow, that's an interesting specific prayer. A couple days later, my wife bumps into our old facility, and the man said, "If I will give you this place for 3 months if you clean it up, and you can have whatever you have in here." So as we're going back through all his stuff, in the very back was 200 chairs. This is pretty neat. But then finally, in the very back, behind a tarp, was 18 large round tables. And we're like, wow. So again, this church was birthed on the provision of God. And so God likes to guide and show us through provision. And so I would encourage some of you that as you become more aware of God in your life after Easter and have him more on your mind, and then say, Lord, are there ways that you can provide for me in ways? Now, again, I'm not saying that, you know, don't work and stay at home and say, Lord, provide. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there are moments, though, where you can say, Lord, would you be the one who provides through this mean? And the third one is through power. And this is God with us through going beyond ourselves. And for time, other time, we can tell you lots of other stories of how God moves in our lives through power, especially when we pray for the sick. We see God moving in our lives. What power is once you become aware of God on a constant basis and meditating on Him, seeing Him work in your life, then you see Him providing for you. Then you start seeing His power moving by attempting to do His will when we cannot accomplish it. He loves to do that. If you go to John chapter 2, another interesting story, Jesus is at a wedding, and at the wedding, they run out of wine. And his mom says, "Hey, Jesus, would you take care of the wine?" He's like, "Woman, why are you getting me involved?" And that's always a weird request she had. So then she says, "Do whatever my son tells you to do." So he tells the servants to take these big stone jars, fill them with water, and as the servants go to pour it, out comes wine. And there's a little line in there. It said, "Nobody knew this, but the servants knew." And these servants stepped out, and they watch God take water and do it to wine. God likes to move through power in our lives. He likes to do different things in our lives. And to do that, we need to be aware of Him. We need to see Him provide and then see His power. So through perception, provision, and power, God wants you to know that He wants to be present in your life on a regular basis. He wants a dynamic presence with you all the time. And how do you do that? One thing is to constantly have Him on your mind. Constantly be put through scripture and prayer. Make yourself in situations where only He can provide. And the third one, I have a dunce cap, is even like I showed this morning, you know, I really thought maybe there's a few people out here who don't know the Lord. It's okay to step out. Because one of the reasons we don't pray more for the sick, one of the reasons we don't step out more, is we're afraid to look foolish. But as I get older, I said, I would rather look like a fool and try with God than to be a fool and not try. And so I'm going to continue to show up. I'm going to continue to pray for the sick. I'm going to continue to try to do sermons. Some will be good, some will be eh. But you know what? We're going to keep stepping out. We're going to keep loving people. And I really still do believe there are several people here who God is speaking to. But you know what? Again, it's not about us. We love you, but we're here. But again, I'm not afraid to step out, nor should you. And I love a picture to leave with you today for Easter, is that God has your full attention. God loves you as a good father. He has put His countenance on you. He wants to bless you. He wants to love you. And why we're so excited for Easter and the resurrection is that God is good. And so what is on your mind? I want to finish with a psalm, and then we're going to go into worship. And by the way, another thing about worship is a multifaceted way, but the reason why in our lives we want on a regular basis have God in our lives, as He becomes the most important part in our life. I don't know why I keep doing this hand thing. I'll stop that. Keep my hands back here. Is as we keep Him on our mind, it'll change the way we do things. So even after we're done here today, we're going to be singing some songs. Singing songs through worship is another way to always be getting God, keeping Him on our mind. But look at Psalm 23 with me, and I put a couple things here to kind of bring it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." God wants to be in relationship, and He wants to supply all of your needs. "He makes me lie down in green pastures," which he wants to provide rest for some of you sometimes. "He leads me beside quiet waters, He refreshes my soul." He wants to bring healing in your life. Psalm 23, 3-4, "He guides me along the right path for His name's sake." God wants to guide you always. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." He wants to protect you in all things. And He says, "For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." Even in His discipline, He wants to bring protection and guidance. And then He says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." He gives us hope through tough times. "You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." He wants to give us an abundance. And finally, "Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He wants to give us blessing, security, and eternity. So as we get ready right now for worship, biblical worship is saying, "I'm all in. I want to give my heart, my hands, my brain, everything to God." And so let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that the tomb is empty. And I pray that today we would realize that You are with us. And I pray that we would all know that we need to constantly, starting tomorrow, keep our minds on You, that we would always be putting our minds on the God who loves us. And I pray that Your presence will here through provision, perception, and power, that You want to move in our lives. The kingdom of God wants to manifest itself in our lives. Help us today to know that God is good, and help us to constantly be aware of Your presence. I think some here today, Lord, they're not aware of You because they haven't been paying attention. I pray that if they would turn their hearts to You right now, if they would stop and say, "God, You are real," just like happened to me in 1990, that their lives would forever change. So Holy Spirit, would You now receive our worship as we continue on with some worship and communion? We thank You for here in Jesus' name. Amen.